what a thrill to have on the show a guy who has been making people laugh for more than six decades. You know him from his work on television shows like Gomer Pyle, USMC, Good Morning World, the show that made me want to work in radio, That Girl, Golden Girls, Yes Dear, and an IMDb list as long as your arm. Ronnie Schell joins us this afternoon. Ronnie, thanks so much for being with us.
Rich, it's my pleasure to be with you.
All right, I have to tell you this. As a kid growing up in the 60s, if I turned on that TV and Ronnie Schell was on, I knew I was in. I just knew I was in for a good time, because if you were on a show, I was going to laugh.
Oh, well, good. That's good, Rich. I wish that could continue for another, but it won't. But anyway, it was fun, and I'm still in reruns.
Not you personally, you mean the shows you were on?
Both. No, I mean I did all these shows, and they still come up every day on my television set. You guys get MeTV back down there?
We do, absolutely, and yeah, you're on there a lot.
I'm on there every night at 9 with Jim Gomer Pyle, and it just keeps going. And some, you know, I come up on Emergency, and I did 3 of those, 3 Happy Days. And I had a good career.
Yeah, you sure did. I want to go back to the beginning, if we can. You went to, was it San Francisco State? And out of there, that got you a gig at the Purple Onion, right?
Purple Onion in San Francisco. I auditioned. And the same night that I auditioned, 2 other acts auditioned and did very well. One was Phyllis Diller, and the other one was the Kingston Trio, who went on to be famous in the folk era. And I worked with them off and on for, I guess, 40 years.
So you were playing at the Purple Onion. You did gigs at the Hungry Eye. How did all that lead to you appearing with Groucho on You Bet Your Life?
Well, to make a long story short, the guy that was in charge of You Bet Your Life was a huge fan of Phyllis's. And so he sent George, you remember George Fenneman?
I sure do, yeah.
Well, George was from San Francisco. And so he sent George up to L.A. to watch Phyllis and see if she'd be right for the You Bet Your Life. And so he went up there, and he loved her, and he saw me, and he loved me too. And he said, yeah, I'd like to get you on the show too. And I said, well, I'd be happy to. That would have been my first nationwide gig. And so when they signed her up, she was on about a month later, and 1 week after that, I appeared as a guest on You Bet Your Life, and that's how I got on that show.
And what was your area of what was your area of expertise? Was it being an expert on beatniks?
Yes, and I wasn't, but they had to give me something to, you know, for a gimmick, and so I was a beatnik expert. And he asked me what a beatnik was, and I said, "That's a guy on the bottom, looking down." But I got $600. I won $600, and I guess the secret word, table. And Groucho, contrary to what some people say, was very, very nice to me. I don't know if it was because I was wanting to be a comedian or what, but he was very, very nice. And later, when I did one of my guest jobs on Carson's show, he was in the audience, and he came backstage and, again, was very, very complimentary and very nice. So I had a great relationship with Groucho Marx.
Although I understand what the producers told you beforehand, listen, we know you're funny, but Groucho's the star, right?
Exactly. Because I said before I went on, I said, now, listen, I have to tell you, I'm a comedian, and I got some funny stuff, and I'm going to probably try here. And the producer said, well, look, Ronnie, I want you to remember one thing. This is the Groucho Marx Show, and we do have scissors in which we can cut out anything that's funnier than Groucho. So I if you watch the show, I'm not that funny, but I was likable, and he liked it.
Well, how did you end up with the gig as Duke Slater on Gomer Pyle USMC?
Well, what happened was I became an agent for my manager, who was a fellow by the name of Dick Link, and he handled Jim Nabors and Andy Griffith and Ken Berry and Frankie Avalon, a couple of people like that. And he saw me working a couple of gigs in San Diego with the Kingston Trio, and I'd opened for the Kingston Trio. And so he took me aside and he said, listen, I'd like to handle you. And I said, well, I don't have a manager right now. He said, well, that's good. And also, coincidentally, Jim Nabors is going to do a spinoff from the Andy Griffith Show called Gomer Pyle USMC. And he's going to have a sidekick who's more sane than him because, you know, Jim doesn't represent the audience. He represents an exaggeration. Comedically of people, and so you have to have somebody to sort of be the audience, and to sometimes say, hey Joe, hey Jim, what are you doing? You can't do that. You can't do that. So he said, I'd love to have you be it, the guy. And I said, well, I'd like to. And he said, I'm having an audition tomorrow, and I'd like you to be there. So I went up and I auditioned for Sheldon Leonard, who was the big monkey muck at that time over at Desilu, and also, I don't know how he got in there, but Carl Reiner came in and was in on the audition, and they signed me up, and that's how it started. And for the first seven episodes, I was merely a, is that right, Gomer? Oh, where are you going, Gomer? Okay, well, see ya. They were in the first few minutes of the show, and there would be him going off. And after the seventh episode, they gave me a break to do the lead. And from then on, I was sort of his funny sidekick.
Now, everybody we've talked to that worked with Jim Nabors said the same thing, that he was just one of the absolute nicest guys in the world. And I know you remain close with Jim right up until he passed.
Yes, I did. I have to say, I said this before, but I'm very sincere about this. There's been only two people in my whole life who have had absolutely no enemies. I mean, everybody loved them. One is my still wife, Janet, and the other one is Jim. Jim, everybody loved Jim, and he was just the nicest guy, and he was so nice to work with, and we had a great relationship. Even so that after the season was over, he'd go to Vegas, and I would be his opening act. And then he did stuff. I think we were in Maine because we went all over the United States doing shows, and I'd open for him, and it was a great relation. And I made some money.
We're talking with Ronnie Schell here on Downtown. I mentioned it. I love the show Good Morning World, you as a radio guy, and a great cast with Goldie Hawn, the wonderful Billy DeWolf. I was surprised that didn't have a longer run because I thought it was terrific.
I'll tell you what happened. Good Morning World was CBS, and that season when we did our debut, NBC started running first-run movies for the first time on television, nationwide television. So it happened that probably every, I forget when we were on, Friday night, I think, and every Friday night, someone in America would turn to the other person and say, well, who should we watch tonight on television, Ronnie Schell or Cary Grant? Guess who won?
Can't believe you lost out to that guy.
Thank you very much. So that's how we lost. And, of course, I was completely wrong about Goldie. She was a go-go dancer out of Baltimore. And she was she was doing a dancing gig on an Andy Griffith special. And they loved her personality. So they said, well, why don't we make her Ronnie's girlfriend? And so they signed me, they signed her up to be my girlfriend. And after about the fourth episode, I mean, she was adorable. I mean, just got a lot of laughs and everything like that. But she didn't like to rehearse because she thought she was stale. And I just remember the fourth week after we stopped after the fourth week and waited for 2 weeks to get our pickup. She said, you know, I don't like to rehearse. I get stale. And I looked at her, I'll never forget this, and I said, Goldie, I can tell you right now, you're not going to make it. I've been in this business 4 years, and I know talent, and talent has to rehearse. You can't think you're going to wing it every single time. So God bless you, but just enjoy this gig. It's probably your last. 1 year later, she won the Academy Award for Cactus Flower. And I found out while working some toilet in Omaha. she never let me forget it, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, you also played the great part of Harvey Peck, Marlo Thomas's agent on That Girl. Am I right that George Carlin had that part originally?
Originally, it was George Carlin, and they thought he couldn't act. And I guess that time he wasn't doing much acting. He was just doing stand-up. And so they brought me in, and they fired him and hired me. And that was the history of That Girl with Marlo. And, of course, but I became very close friends of her boyfriend on the show, Ted Bessel. And he came on to do a year of Gomer. And then we became good friends, and he had an untimely passing early on, and but it was great knowing him and working with him.
Now, you've worked with everybody in the business, so we had the honor a few years ago of talking with the great Carl Reiner, and you worked with Carl a couple of times.
Carl was the executive producer of Good Morning World, and he started directing episodes of our show, and actually I was in them, and then he did two of the movies that I did, he directed. One was called Fatal Attraction. And he directed me in that. And in fact, that was the last film that he directed. And early on, he did another one. I can't even remember. But it was good. Carl was a genius.
Oh, he did, was it Revenge of the Red Baron?
That's it, Revenge of the Red Baron. Absolutely.
I know one of your closest friends, too, was the great Don Rickles. Can you tell us a little bit about Don?
Well, I worked with everybody. I worked in Vegas off and on for 50 years. In the beginning, opening for big stars like Tony Bennett, Carol Burnett, people like that. And they always had an opening act, and I was lucky enough to be chosen to do that. And what were we saying? What were we talking about?
Rickles, working with Don Rickles.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. So I got to know Don from his appearances. And he, to me, and I say this with all humbleness on my part, I think he's the funniest comedian that ever was. As far as everybody that I was associated with comedically, there was nobody like a Don Rickles. I mean, he was always prepared and just naturally a funny guy, and was not the mean guy that he portrayed usually, you know, putting people down, things like that. But and he was fun to be with on social occasions. You just go in there and you sit next to him and just let him roar. And do his thing at all the people that come near him, and I have not seen anybody close to him. I have a theory about that. You probably want to hear it, do you?
Oh, I do, absolutely.
I have a theory about comedy, and you think, and correct me if I'm wrong. Comedians, the difference between a comedian and a comic is a comic says funny things, and a comedian says things funny. And a typical example would be early on Jack Benny. When Jack Benny walked out on stage, the audience immediately starts laughing. He doesn't have to say a word because he has this reputation of just being a funny guy. Where if a lot of the comedians, and some today, they come out, but you don't laugh until they say something funny. And because they're not inherently funny themselves, but they might be, you know, as writers, but you have to have that funny bone to meet.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Benny, too. I don't know that anybody has ever used the power of silence any better than Jack Benny did.
Good point. Very good point. You're right. He was there. I never had a chance to meet him, but I knew George Burns, his best friend, and he was always in awe of Jack.
Now you mentioned doing several episodes of Emergency. Now I understand too. There's a family connection there with Bobby Troup and your wife, right?
Very good. You do your homework, Rich. I'm going to say because it's really current. When I did three episodes of the Patty Duke show. You remember? Well, you're too young for Patty Duke.
No, I can still sing the theme song from Patty Duke if you want.
Oh, God bless you. Well, yes. Well, there was a little girl who played her cousin on the show, but she was supposed to be a lookalike, and you always saw the back of her head. And when she was with Patty, and that girl turned out to be Cindy Troup, and her father was Bobby Troup, the famous singer, piano player. And so I got to know her, you know, socially and during the filming. And then one day I came on the set, and I a failed romance. Maybe it was with Goldie. And anyway, I said to Sydney, I said, "You got to find me a new girlfriend. I've run out of this town for crying out loud." He said, "Well, I have a girlfriend who just broke up with her longtime boyfriend. I mean, I'll show you a picture of her." She pulled out her wallet, and here was this, to me, a beautiful blonde in a bikini, laying on the sands of Oahu. I said, "That's her. I'll have to take her around." And so he picks me up. He introduced me to her. And then I dated her. And 2 years later, she became my wife and still is. And the point being is that Cindy just died last month. And we did a memorial for her last week. But I always owe a lot to Bobby Troup for introducing, for having a daughter that introduced me to my beloved wife.
Well, we lost another talent yesterday too, Robert Clary, that you knew very well. Yes. Because you worked on the same lot together when he was doing Hogan's Heroes.
That's right. And he also did a lot of Broadway show. He did a Broadway show before he got on Hogan's Heroes, and that was New Faces of 52, I believe. And his song was "I'm in Love with Mr. Logan." You remember that?
I do. And everybody was in that New Faces show in 52.
Paul Lynn was just hysterically funny. Who, by the way, I did two episodes of his show, Temperatures Rising and Paul Lynn show, who another naturally hysterically funny guy. When he walked out or walked into a room, you automatically laughed. Now, these comics, comedians, I call them comedians, were just absolutely inherently funny. Now, I worked with Robin Williams I did a guest shot on the Mark and Mindy.
Right, right.
And I worked 2 weeks with him, and I found him a genius at coming up with funny lines. But, and this is just my personal thing, to me, he wasn't a funny person. He was very quiet and very down. And the only time that he would do anything funny is when he would do these lines. But everybody called him a genius, which he was. because he'd come up with lines you would, but didn't have the wherewithal or whatever it was of a Jack Benny. And so, although I liked him, he was a nice guy, but that's my personal opinion, difference between a comic and a comedian.
Now, you also worked with Robert Mitchum. What was it, Family for Joe?
Yes, I did. And he was one of my heroes early on, and I thought he was a genius actor. And funny little story. I didn't get a chance to meet him before we rehearsed on the set. And when I went on the set and I did my lines, I played an effete, I think that's the word you use in those days, owner of a veterinary shop. And so I started doing my lines, you know, just like, hi, and oh, yes, something like that. And when it was over, I wanted to clarify myself with Mitchum. So as we walked off, I said, excuse me, Mr. Mitchum. Hi, I'm Ronnie Schell. I'm playing this gay, but I'm really straight. without a beat, he looked at me and said, "Hi, I'm Bob Mitchum. I'm playing this straight, but I'm really gay." True story.
That is fantastic.
We walked off the set. We had an audience in those days. When we walked off the set, he turned. Was I too Jewish in that? In that scene, whatever that meant.
You also worked with a great friend of our show, the wonderful Ruta Lee. I got to think she was a blast to work with.
I just worked with her recently on something. Oh, I know, in North Carolina. Yes, Ruta is the doll. We did a show together for 4 years called Don't Leave It All to Your Children, a musical, and she was just a joy to be with and a good actress. You look back and you see some of those early Andy Griffiths and Jim Abers sitcoms and stuff like that, and she was in a lot of those.
Oh, she's everywhere. Now, you also you were a frequent guest on the great podcast that our friends Gilbert Gottfried and Frank Santopadre did. Now, I'd ask you, if we weren't under the auspices of the FCC, I would ask you to tell the Alan Ladd story, but I think people should just go find that on the podcast. All I'll say is chickens. That's enough. but you're no, so
I,
great on that show. And
I told Rich, which was probably not a true story, but I played it as it was a true story because that's where I heard it. And don't worry, Rich, you can relax. I'm not going to...
Our producer's right. He's on the mute button as we speak, but I'm confident.
I had more fun with that. And I've had people come up to me and say, "Hey, Ronnie, you," and then they do the line, which was a hysterically funny line about the chickens in Alan Ladd. And he, thank God, Alan Ladd never heard the story, because he would have probably beat the crap out of me. Even though he was only 5'4".
He was scrappy, though. He was a scrappy 5'4".
Yeah, he was a scrappy 5'4". There's a lot of those big stars were little guys, but they had that big man persona, and he was a good actor. He was good. I loved it. Shane's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. Now, you've done so much voiceover work through the years, too, and I don't know if people know this or not. If they're hockey fans, you were the voice of Peter Puck.
That's right. I think they played a lot up in your area, because you have hockey's big up there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very big.
Yeah, well, they hired me. NBC hired me to play the voice of hockey of Peter Puck, who was a hockey puck, and he would explain hockey to a lot of Americans. I'm talking about in America, United States Americans, because it wasn't that popular in those days. And so I would explain hockey, and I had a punchline that was, "I love that hockey." And I was there for 4 years, and then they dropped it, but it was in Canada for another 3 years as Peter Puck. And I enjoyed that. That was another nice little gig. But half the time I'd be as a guest, Ronnie Schell, on a radio show somewhere like up in the Montreal or somewhere, and they'd ask me questions about certain plays in hockey, and I had no idea what I was talking about because I wasn't, you know, I was a baseball fan, but it was a good gig. It was fun.
You had a pretty good player yourself, and you've told the story on Gilbert and Frank's show about your team, your softball team. Was it the Reruns?
I had a team in Encino, California, which is in the San Fernando Valley, of playing a men's softball team in a league there called, our name of our team was the Reruns. And I used all my friends that were in the business. And we were then 10 years we played in this league, men's league in Encino. And finally, the 10th year, we won the league. But we had to bring in ringers. See, who played for us that you know? Who was the...
Well, our friend John Beiner played for you, and Fred Willard. Was it Martin Mull, too?
John Beiner was one of my pitchers. I had three pitchers. John Beiner, who else? Oh, Martin Mull. And... some other.
And Harvey Korman played for you too, right?
Unfortunately, yes. He was terrible.
Yeah, but you mentioned ringers. You had Steve Yeager of the Dodgers playing for you.
Yes, we did. We had a whole year and a half, two seasons, and he'd either strike out or hit a home run. And boy, he was a long ball hitter. And we had, let's see, Jack Riley, remember from the Newhart show?
Love Jack Riley.
Yeah, he wasn't very good, but a great guy. One of my best friends. And who else do we have? I played first base. And who else? Who's that guy that's so funny that did the Milwaukee game?
Oh, Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker. He played third base for me in a couple of games, and he was hysterically funny. As funny as he was when he was saying, "I must be in the first row."
Well, Ronnie, we could talk with you all day. I want to remind people they can go to your website and get autographed memorabilia and the like at ronnieschell.com. They can find you on Facebook at The Real Ronnie Schell. It has been a delight to talk with you. I've loved your work since I was about yay high. Thanks so much for being with us today, Ronnie. Hope we can do it again sometime.
Anytime, Rich. I loved working with you, and you were a nice guy, and we'll do it again.
All right. Thanks so much. Be well. Yeah, happy. You got a birthday coming up next month. Happy birthday in advance.
Shut up. Did you hear me? Shut up. You don't touch him after a certain age.
All right. I know nothing. Thanks a lot, Ronnie.
Okay, buddy.
That's Ronnie Schell here on Downtown.